All right, Big Mac, today is Wednesday, September 23rd. Welcome to the Dog Walk presented by Barstool Sports. Chiefs back. We're bringing you another World News Wednesday because we have a pretty interesting story that's happening domestically that involves China. So we'll do that. We'll do a little bit of Tibet. There's a lot of stuff going on, but how are
you? It's all intertwined. It's one of those things I feel like my entire life I've been hearing about, you know, free Tibet and the Dalai Lama and all these, you know, things from that region. And now it seems like it's popping up domestically as well. So like Richard Gere, Hollywood, free Tibet has always been a thing. And then I think in recent times, I feel like you hear about it less. And now through this case, we've learned that China still very much cares about Tibet.
There you go.
Yeah.
And are we starting with the news that came out earlier this week about an NYPD officer? Is that the best spot to start?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So an officer was accused of acting as an illegal agent for the Chinese government.
Not just that, charged and arrested.
Okay.
So it's not even, you know, like allegations or rumors or whispers. It was a formal charge a couple days ago. It's been in the New York Times. It's been everywhere. But it's one of those stories that I feel like if this were a normal year and or a normal time and not COVID, not an election year, all this, it would be bigger news. But as it is, it kind of is flying underneath the radar.
So what do we know now? What do we need to know about this officer? What's going on?
Sure. So we'll start with his name. I'm going to do my best.
It's a tough one.
Yeah. Bemadjie.
That looks good.
Ang Wang.
Uh-huh.
And that was the New York police officer who was arrested. He kind of works in Queens, and he's being charged with being an intelligence asset for China. So this is a guy who he agreed to spy on U.S. supporters of the Free Tibet movement for the Chinese government. So he's been doing that. He's been charged with his actions for doing this since 2018. Those are the things that they, like the government is willing to say that they can prove. But the New York Times was reporting that he started these actions as far back as at least 2014.
Okay.
And he's a 33-year-old guy. He's been on the force for a while. He actually came to the United States because he was seeking asylum from the Chinese government. So he claimed when he got asylum and he's become a naturalized citizen, a naturalized U.S. citizen. He's from Tibet originally. So he claims that he had been arrested and tortured in China because of his Tibetan ethnicity, and then he gets here and he has this role with the Chinese government to act as a spy on Tibetan people in the United States and then just other people who are on board with this Free Tibet movement.
Before we get into that, can you kind of explain to the people what is going on with Tibet and China? Like, what's the conflict here?
And yeah.
I'm sure we're going to get more deeper as the podcast goes on, but I guess in like small terms before we really know.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long and complicated kind of history. Okay.
So it might not be possible.
Yeah, it might not be possible. So this guy, I mean, that can be like kind of the crux of the podcast, because as far as this guy is concerned, like there hasn't been a trial yet. There hasn't been a ton of evidence released yet. It's just a guy who was arrested, this guy, you know, Officer Ang Wang. And like I said, he's a U.S. citizen now. He came here because he claims that he was arrested and tortured by China. And then China has since come out and been like, this is bullshit. Like, we're not doing this. This is just an attempt by the United States to smear China and our diplomats in the country. So they deny having any contact with this guy. And they say it's all bullshit. But there's, you know, it's Tibet. And they very much care about Tibet. And they kind of always have. So Tibet is this region in the western part of China. It's the highest on the Tibetan plateau, is the highest elevation of any point in the world. So it's way the fuck up there. Have you ever seen the movie 2012?
I have not.
It's like a disaster movie. They have like this one scene where like the world is collapsing or whatever, and the waves come like crashing down through the Himalayas, and like, the last spot like really on Earth that's above water is this Tibetan monastery up in the mountains. And it's an average of 14,000 feet. So like that's, you know, kind of, you know, it's on the border of like India, Nepal, Pakistan, all these giant, giant mountains like near Mount Everest. So 14,000 feet, that would be just about, that's the average height. that would be just about the tallest mountain in the United States. Like these mountains like dwarf what's going on like in the Rocky Mountains or anything like that. Like they're huge, huge mountains. Very, and because of those mountains, it's very isolated area. So they talk about, you know, it's famous, like you see the monks, right? Everyone's seen those Tibetan monks. They're ringing the bells. They're not talking, all of that. Well, it's so isolated that the religion of Buddhism, which is what those monks are, they're Buddhist monks, didn't even get into Tibet for 1,000 years after it was created because it was just so hard to get to that region of the planet. And like I said, it's like Western China, borders Nepal, Bhutan, and India. So it's strategically for China. They're also having like these border disputes with India. They're not having like a hot war, but there's been like some reports of shootings and like troop movements along the border. They have, for whatever reason, India and China have this border dispute in the Himalayas. Who knows why? But that's, you know, it's right in that area.
Okay, so it's pretty valuable piece of land then, too, in the Chinese eyes.
It's almost like they call it the axis of Asia because it's like the border between the subcontinent, which is India and China. And if you're going to have like a neighbor that you're battling with or having some disputes with, you want to make sure that area is secure. But this goes back. Tibet has always been ruled by other people. It's been very brief periods of time where they were totally autonomous government. You've heard the name Genghis Khan. Mm-hmm. So the Mongolians came through there. They ruled it for a while. Then China came back with, you know, their different, like the Ming Dynasty or whatever dynasties. Like they ruled over Tibet as well. And then when Mao came in the 50s. So Mao's a communist. He had like the Mao's Cultural Revolution. And there was like a big civil war. Mao and Chinese people, you know, Mao and that communist government won. So they started taking over. They marched in on Tibet. And the Dalai Lama, however you pronounce it, he's been there this entire time. So the old guy that you're seeing, he's been in that position of power as the Dalai Lama since he was 5 years old.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So he has like a real name, but the way they crown the Dalai Lama is that you're supposedly the Dalai Lama is a title kind of like the Pope, right? So the Pope changes over time, all, you know, historically. The Dalai Lama, it's no one elects him, no one does anything. He's supposedly the reincarnation of this Buddhist god, and how they seek that out or find that in a 5-year-old or however, you know, I don't know. But they just, like the monks determined, like, oh, yeah, like, that's our new Dalai Lama. So he got that job when he was 5 years old. So his lifespan has seen, all, you know, the rise of China, the fall of, like, the old China, end of World War II, all that. So when China started taking over under Mao in the Tibetan region, they had, like, a little mini civil war. China had, you know, 550 million people at that time. They had a big army. It was funded by the Soviet Union. And Tibet had a total population of like 2.5 million people. So even though it's like very isolated and hard to get to, China just rolled in there and like took over.
Okay.
So the Dalai Lama went to the leaders in Beijing and they kind of worked out this deal where they would almost be the Tibetan region, which is on landmass size, is one of China's like largest states. He worked out this deal where it's like, hey, like we're going to be autonomous. Like, we'll tip our cap to you. You kind of leave us alone. We're way the fuck out here anyways. You don't want anything to do with us. We don't really want anything to do with you. But we'll pay, like, homage or tribute to the Chinese government. Like, we'll recognize them as like, you guys are in charge.
And it's a pretty regal place. Like, there's some, it looks like there's some nice buildings here. And
oh, it's beautiful.
Everything's
yeah.
up on a mountain. Mm-hmm. And it's just,
I mean, it's hard to get to, like I said. And if you want to go anywhere because the mountains are so fucking crazy, I don't care if it's 30 miles away, it's going to take you like 6 hours. So, but you're right. They have these beautiful monasteries, incredible vistas. They have, like, you know, their own unique artwork. They have their own unique, you know, food. And, you know, they used to have their own language. China outlawed that. So you had this thing in the 50s. And like I said, the Dalai Lama made this deal. And he has the total authority to make it. He made it when he was 17 with the Chinese government. And so this big region was, you know, ruled by the Dalai Lama and by China, but you had, and China started to impose their way of life and their system of government on this entire region. And the people who were the kind of the closest to the rest of China, so the eastern part of Tibet, started to rebel because they're like, we don't want to be communists. Like, these people are telling us how to live. They're telling us, you know, like, we can't, you know, worship. We can't do any of this shit. So they started to rebel, and they were funded actually by the CIA. So the CIA started giving them, you know, a couple $1 million a year, like giving them weapons, all this, so they could fight against the Chinese. And the Chinese just got like fucking sick of this. And in like in 1962, so after 3 years of this, China was just like, hey, we got to squash these guys. And so they started marching on Tibet again. And they bombed out all these monasteries. They sent artillery shells in there. They killed upwards of 600,000 people in Tibet. And it was like a human rights crisis, but no one wanted to really get involved. And ever since then, it's been a contentious situation with China and Tibet. And the Dalai Lama actually fled. So he fled to India in like the middle of the night in the 60s. I think it was 1966 when Mao had his cultural revolution. And he, like I said, they used to have thousands of these monasteries across the region. And at the end of this cultural revolution, like 1966, there were eight functioning Tibetan monasteries.
Wow.
So a lot of destruction.
So did the Chinese government lie in the first place saying like, hey, you do you? Or was this kind of a...
I think they had an understanding. And then when the people of Tibet started to be like, we're not with this plan. Like, we don't want to be Chinese. Like, we're Tibetan. We want to have our own culture. We don't want to be communists.
They weren't cool with that.
They weren't cool with it. So then China, they started acting independently of both the Dalai Lama and the Tibetan government and the Chinese government. And so then China was just like, we can't have any people like speaking out against our authority or challenging us. So we're just going to squash this right now.
Yeah. Real quick here. Let's take a quick break here and talk about JP Graziano. So it's Wednesday, obviously, Chief. So that means you have today, you got Thursday, you got Friday, you got Saturday to go help yourself to a nice sub from JP's.
I mean, Wednesday is my favorite day of the week because we get it delivered here. I got a Mr. G coming. It's just an unbelievable, it's a perfect sandwich.
Yeah, I mixed it up today. I got the American. So that's like, listen, if you're a little intimidated, it's not all Italian meats. You can get a nice American sandwich too. Mm-hmm. And you know that you're used to ham, turkey. There's a turkey sandwich. Cheese, whatever you want, they got it.
I actually switched it up today too, and I just remembered. I'm getting the turkey. They have he puts these like little roasted bell peppers on there. They're unbelievable.
Yeah, turkey. I got the American. So yeah, so there is other stuff for other people. If you're kind of worried about like, I don't love the Italian meats, they got everything there for you. JP's, go to tastegrillchicago.com as well if you want some muffaletta or some jardinera. And like I said, go to jpgraziano.com if you want to get a sub. Pre-order it, pick it up at the new green door, the green window, whatever you want to call it, the walk-up window. It's very easy. Tell them Eddie sent you. They'll give you a extra punch in your sub card, so you'll get that free sub sooner. Yeah, JP Graziano's. Go check them out. Have a nice lunch. Have a nice weekend, really.
The goat.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So how does this lead us into...
Like today?
Yes. I feel like you've done a great job at setting the stage. So the Dalai Lama flees to India. Yep. And it's like, you know, there's kind of there's only eight monasteries, you said, left?
I think they've built some back up. But when China was going through their full destruction mode that caused the Dalai Lama to flee, that was the number that survived. So I think there's been some build back up. I'm not sure what the exact number is right now. But it's they had a lot of destruction. And like I said, the Dalai Lama left. And, you know, it's still been ruling. They had this poll that was who were the most popular world leaders, and he won. So across the entire world, he's become like the face of like pacifism and pacifism, but also resistance in a way, because he still like outwardly resists the Chinese government, even though he's doing it in exile.
Can you explain pacifism real quick?
Pacifism means like you just don't want any violence. So almost like Gandhi, right? Like Gandhi like took down the British rule in India.
Peaceful,
exactly. So no wars, no nothing, and he's seen as like this very wise person. He's got a Twitter account now, so he's also like a modern world leader, and he just does it, you know, he does it from afar. So he is, you know, the people of Tibet still see him as the rightful almost like king. So it's more than just the Pope, because the Pope is like a religious leader, which the Dalai Lama is, but he also historically has been like the head of the government too. Okay. So he's serving both roles, but he has to do it from abroad.
That's quite the role.
Yeah, quite the role. And
has India embraced him? Like, is it like a?
I don't know that. I mean, I don't. It's not like he. It's not the same thing.
Okay.
So like he. It would be like a king in exile. I'm trying to think. The only one that like pops to mind is that other one, like from the Soviet Union, where they kicked out the Tsar, and the Tsar was like living abroad for a while, and he had like supporters still in Russia, but he never really could take power again. Tsar Nicholas. So, and then they killed a lot of his family. That's like the Anastasia Disney story. Mm-hmm. But China, because this was such a hot button thing, like they, nobody in Tibet can have a passport, so you're not supposed to be able to leave. So that's like they have the whole place on lockdown. Like I said, they made the language, the official Tibetan language, illegal. So you can't speak or write it or anything like that. You have to use Mandarin. Like they've really had a crackdown. They used to no tourists. So China was open to the West and the outside world. When Nixon was president in 1973, no one was allowed to go into Tibet until the 80s. So now they have some hotels and things like that, but they used to just, and it's still hard to get there as a tourist, but it was highly restricted.
And I found an article in 2019 that they actually restricted it again.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that, so that's presently right now?
Yes. So it's still, I think that's like a fluid situation, but it's very difficult to, for an outside person to get into Tibet and for a Tibetan person to leave. So you have these pockets of refugees that defect and escape and come to the United States like our officer did. And he's then turning around spying on other people who did the same thing as him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So needless to say, mm-hmm. They want to figure out the U.S. positions. Is this why this guy's involved?
I think this guy is involved because they want this free Tibet movement in the United States is still a prevalent thing. You know, if the CIA was involved historically, there's reason to believe, if you're China, that they might still be involved. Mm-hmm. And they might still be funding people and causing dissent. And, you know, we've seen it, you know, in Hong Kong. We've seen China crack down on other peoples and other regions. You know, their Muslim population's been, that's like a, we should do a podcast on that too, because that's super fucked up, that they put them in like these re-education camps, which are basically concentration camps. And it's China is, they kind of rule with an iron fist. And then this particular region, but it's still like, I kept being like, the title of these notes I have about Tibet is, why does China give a fuck? Like, why do they give a fuck? Like, what is going on out there? It's the poorest part of China by far. It's the smallest population density, because you think of China, it's like, remember when we heard about the coronavirus the first time? It's like, oh, it came from the city called Wuhan.
Yeah.
And nobody had ever heard of Wuhan. At least it seemed like, at least I hadn't, seemed like most people hadn't. And then you find out it's bigger than New York City, but it's like their 10th largest city.
Crazy.
So it's crazy. They have so many people there. So this entire massive region of China and Tibet, called Tibet, only has 3 million people. So it's like, why do they care so much? And then you keep reading and you're like, oh shit, it's arguably home to the most valuable natural resource in the world, fresh water.
Ooh.
So you have India to the south, you have all the, you know, the Yangtze River, which flows into China. Long story short, that region is home to the starting point of all these rivers that supply 47% of fresh water, or it provides fresh water to 47% of the world's population. So it goes down into Thailand and Laos and Vietnam, and then it goes down into India and Pakistan, and then it goes out to China. And there's just so many people in that region that that rely on the water that comes from Tibet. So China wants, it's like a strategic thing that they could choke off water, fresh water, if they wanted, to all of India, like, you know, a substantial part of the population, because there's just so much water flowing down from those Himalayan mountains. They've put in all these like hydro dams and plants in there to, like, so they can power, you know, the western part of their China. And it's really this whole thing, and it comes down to water. It's all about, at the end of the day, it's all about access to those rivers and those, the power in the water.
I mean, after listening to this and the Road Initiative, like, what's their end game here? Are they just incredible business people where are they like, we want our hand in everything?
Yeah.
Or are they really trying to take over the world?
It's hard to know. And you know, we always in our office, like, reference that movie, The Big Short. You know, it's like, oh, like, what's this guy into? So the main guy, the protagonist, Christian Bale's character, when they do the end credits, they're like, he only invests in one thing now. After, like, he made all this money on doing the mortgage, you know, mortgage-backed security shorting. He only invests in water, like freshwater companies, because that is the one thing that people, so you have like some of the smartest people in the world, they're all trying to be like, how do we have access to this water? And China's like, well, Tibet has it. And so if they were to become truly independent and cozy up to some of their neighbors who are their rivals, then that would be a big problem for China. And then they would lose access to all those hydro dams and hydro, you know, power plants and things like that. So China, it seems like initially it was a way to push back against the West. It was a cultural thing. It was a Maoist communist thing. And as it's evolved over time, it's really just become about natural resources. They have found like other minerals like gold and things in the Himalayas now, but not significant enough amounts to outweigh what is the real thing, which is the fresh water.
That's crazy interesting.
Yeah. So they're trying to basically just, you know, like, you want to assert your dominance, being like, well, you guys are going to have no water unless you do what we say. Exactly.
My mind's kind of blown. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you kept, the more you kept talking about it, I was like, yeah, what do they want with these people? I was like, yeah, maybe they just want to control that mm-hmm. side of the.
Which I think
the,
that's part of it too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, just have, I don't know, some type of line of defense or something.
Yeah. And it's like, if you think back, you know, to other, you know, we'll call them empires over the course of time. Yeah, you know, if you look at like specifically the British Empire, there used to be that saying, the sun never sets on the British Empire, because mm-hmm. they had colonies in every time zone across the world. You know, whether it's Canada, India, Africa, Pacific, whatever. The British had places everywhere, and then Ireland fell. You know, gained their independence around 1917. They officially mm-hmm. got it. So England was fighting World War One. Ireland's like, this is our moment. We're going to get independence. So then Ireland fell. And then in the 50s, India fell because of, we said, Gandhi. And then all the African colonies fell. And pretty soon they're just like, we can't manage all this. So it's almost like the first chink in the armor causes, the first domino causes the entire empire to fall. And I think China probably sees Hong Kong's dissension, Tibet's dissension as overt threats to what they're trying to do domestically and internationally. Yeah. And if Tibet fell, then that would really weaken their position against Southeast Asia, who they have problems with, you know, with the South China Sea, Hong Kong, all those types of things. And then also with India, who they're, you know, currently in like a pretty hot battle over the border up there. So
do you happen to know which kind of movement is kind of more steam? Obviously, it seems like Hong Kong that's made its way to.
Yeah,
I mean, at least into our world in sports with the whole NBA thing. But
yeah,
I don't know what if the Tibet. I didn't realize there was such an outcry here in America, to be honest with you.
I think at a time Tibet was number one.
Okay,
so like I'm like Richard Gere has done like a lot of shit with like the Free Tibet. It was like a very popular.
Richard Gere.
Yeah. Yeah, he was big. You know, think about Richard Gere in the 90s, though. He was a big deal.
Yeah, and I just didn't
not
see
a name you've heard in a
Richard
while.
Gere
yeah,
coming,
yeah. So
I
think he was in that movie, The Thin Red Line, too, which was about dealing with the Chinese government and in Tibet. And I think Brad Pitt did 7 years in Tibet as a movie. I think that got, you know, like, so there's been historically Tibet might have been at the top of the list. But now it seems like the I think it's pronounced the Uyghur, the Muslims from that area where they're forced into these re-education camps, which is, again, we should do a podcast about that. And then Hong Kong and then Tibet's kind of an afterthought. But I think if you ask China, they might say that their most pressing crisis or most pressing desire would be to hold on to that the 47% of the world's population that relies on the fresh water from the Himalayas in Tibet.
Sounds like a motive to me.
You would think. Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me, and a pretty good one.
Yeah,
you know,
for sure.
That's a big time resource that you want to hold on to.
I'm just hearing of this now.
Yeah.
anything else here before we wrap up?
I think that's basically all I've got. I mean, it's hard to know like what to think about this or what, but it is it.
Needless to say, we'll be watching what happens with the cop because.
Yeah. And we've seen more and more of this, you know, it's like one cop in New York City who works in Queens, and he has a statement, you know, I think through a wiretap that says, "I'm doing it for the glory of China." How many more people like this do they have? Have you ever seen that? Did you ever watch that show on FX, The Americans?
I didn't.
Okay.
But I heard it was pretty
good. So it's like they have these Russian spies who move into D.C. and they just act as, you know, this married couple that from, you know, fucking Virginia or something, and they're just as American as apple pie. And turns out that they were Russian spies the entire time. And that was a real thing. I remember in like 2016 or 17, there was this house that was seized that belonged to Russia, but it was just home for all their spies. It was like undercover, like home base for them. And then, you know, if they have this guy in New York in the police department, like how many other people in high places they have? They have people at corporations. They have people, you know, all who knows? So it just seems if they have taken the time to infiltrate and get a cop on their payroll, who else do they have? They could have you, Ed.
They could.
You could be a Chinese. You're playing. You're playing like, oh, I've never. I don't know about this. And meanwhile, meanwhile, you do. You're just.
I mean, I got to run home. I got to report back and tell them what you know.
Right.
You're some fucked
from a payphone or something.
You're fucked.
Yeah.
But all right, Chief. Thank you. Thanks everybody for listening. That's another World News Wednesday today. If you like these, let us know. You know, we'll keep pumping them out. I mean, I'm definitely interested in this Muslim thing because I've heard a lot about it, but not. I've heard a little bit about it.
Yeah.
I've heard nuggets about it. I don't know the full story.
It's so. Like a headline. You're like, oh, that seems fucked up. Yes. And you keep scrolling.
Yeah. So we should probably talk about that. So that's it for today, everybody. Thank you for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.